know, it'd have to be important to bring us away from home. We're in New York to introduce a new chair for Herman Miller. Uh-huh. And we're here so that your home audience can get a first look at it.
Well, we're looking forward to this first look. And did you notice the way Mr. Ian said our and we? Well, that is, of course, because almost always when there's a successful man, there is a very interesting and able woman behind him. And the better case could seldom be found than Ray and Paul Ian. Come on in, Ray. Hello, I'm so happy to see you. This is Mrs. Eames, and she's going to tell us how she helps Charles design these chairs. How do you manage that?
Aside from having experience in the testing, there are millions of things. But I think the most difficult thing is to keep the big idea. Yes, but critically at the work. But actually, this applies to everyone in the office.
Yes, well, I think it's the best, it's almost the best thing to have in a working family is a critical viewpoint of your husband's work so that he can improve along with it. Otherwise, he might be stagnant or stand still, which is certainly not the case with Eames. I wonder if you'd tell us some of the highlights of your career in designing these chairs. How did you have to get started with chairs? Ray, do you want to say anything about it? All right, Charles.
Well, Ray was a painter. Ray worked here in New York with Hans Hoffman. I'm an architect. I was the background of an architect, and I don't know if you know, architects think that everything comes under the heading of architecture, whether it's chairs or space platforms, everything.
Yes, even dresses and...
Well, by all means, they have structure.
Everything is architecturally built. Well, I noticed that each of the chairs that we have here is slightly different in appearance from the original chair. I wonder if you're going to maybe take us through and show how the Eames chair is developed. And Ray, shall we let Charles do it? Do you want to help with it? No, you see, as I told you, she is behind the man, but terribly important. Thank you, Ray. All right, Charles, let's start with the first one right here, shall we?
I think this would be quite a chore. Actually, all the plywood chairs are a result of working with a mass production technique and, in a way, letting the mass production technique show through in the result.
Uh-huh.
In the case of the plastic chairs, it's... The object was to take a material which was a high-performance material developed during the war and try to make it available to householders at non-military prices.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the...
And it's very practical, is it?
Well, they made shock helmets out of it.
Uh-huh.
That would be pretty good. The wire and the upholstered wire pieces, these are, of course, old materials,
yes.
But they're combined in a way to give a high strength, light weight, and high-performance result. The things are different, but this doesn't mean the attitude is different. It's just that there's different objectives in mm-hmm. each case.
I noticed that you have some of them that were evolved here.
Yes, these are different.
The swivel chairs, which are most attractive and most useful. During the war, you know, Mr. Eames molded designs where they were adapted to splits, weren't they, for the boys? And then you continued along with your design after that. Is there a basic theory of design for your chairs?
Well, there's one. I don't know if I can talk about it. The attitude in all of it is really the same. We've never designed for fashion or with the idea of fitting for fashion. The Herman Miller Furniture Company has never, ever requested that we do pieces for a market,
mm-hmm.
or for an annual interest.
You really create your own market, don't you?
Yes, and the timing is more or less our own. Sometimes it's too slow. But we are allowed then to follow it through with the graphics.
Yes, you say it's too slow, and yet you've done so much and so many and so much sooner than most people have. Designing interesting furniture, of course, is only part of the work that Charles and Ray Eames do. As I remember, your house shows very well the way you feel about living and the problems of design. And I think if we can see some pictures, Mr. Eames will tell us a little bit about the house. Here we are, Charles.
Well, Ray and I worked on it. We designed it together, of course. Recently, we've made a film on the house, and it's been released at the Museum of Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series of films. The music for it was composed by Elmer Bernstein.
Yes.
Marvelous thing. Elmer just he did the and the golden arm.
And the music. The marvelous score it is, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's all...
beautiful, airy looking,
isn't it, Mr. Chief? Well, we think so. It's gotten to be like an old cave for us, but it's composed of standard factory.
Standard factory, you miss. They don't look very standard or very factory in those pictures. That's what your beautification is, that's what I'm doing, right? You've also done some of the most fascinating toys, not only for children, but for grown-ups as well. And we have something here. I wish you could tell us about it.
Well, it's a house of parts done from things mainly picked up around our own house.
Uh-huh. You mean the designs on the car? And this is so glad to come to build their own private house?
Children, yes, but there's no limit. Age, of course.
Adults are children anyway, in many respects, aren't they? And of course, you've been working on the picture, The Spirit of St. Louis. I'm curious about what you did precisely in with that picture, John.
Well, I worked with Billy Wilder, the director, and he's a great man, and
indeed,
it's going to be a real good picture. I didn't make the furniture for Jimmy Stewart. I was working with Billy and then directed for him some second unit for the construction there.
Is it going to be an exact replica of the one that's in the Smithsonian?
Well, Charles Lindbergh didn't tell the difference.
Well, if he can't tell the difference, it must be pretty accurate. Charles, we know about the materials that you've used for your chairs, and that they're basically molded wood and plastics, as you've shown us, and fiberglass and wire and so forth, and some upholstered parts. But I think now it would be very nice if we could preview your newest chair. Why don't we just go up here and have a little preview? Well, that is quite a departure, Charles, and it looks wonderfully comfortable. Tell us something about it.
Well, it's rosewood plywood, and it's black leather, and its insides are all feathers and down. But I think it'd be a better idea if we would just build it for you right here, and you could see something about it.
Can we see this being built? Well, all right, let's put it together. Charming. I was just saying to Charles, I expected when the man's face turned around, it was going to be Charles Chaplin or somebody. Didn't it look exactly like those old rooms?
This is a typical Herman Miller boy.
Well, it's just great. You know, I remember a quotation about this to a couple that I read some time ago. I think described it beautifully. I may not remember it accurately, but it said that it's Eames' desire to move freely in a world of enormous and unlimited possibilities is combined with a very accurate sense of discrimination and taste. Of course, we all see this is an ability to select among the unlimited possibilities and return considerable richness to the world, which you both have done. And thank you for being here and showing us your things this morning.